I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. And let's sing that. Let's read that. Sing that first verse. We can sing it if you want. But we'll read it. I'm going to read it, and you can listen along. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and I there will I cause you to hear my words." Jeremiah had to illustrate a lot of things, and he would go to them with an illustration that he would do and he would live. And so he said, "Go down to the potter's house." Potter is somebody who works with pottery, makes pottery. "And then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred into the hand of the potter. So he made it again. Another vessel, it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At that instant I shall speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom to build it and to plant it, if they do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then will I repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them.'" Tonight, I want to talk about, cannot the Lord do as the potter? Cannot the Lord do as the potter? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. We just sang, "Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me." And that's my prayer, Lord, that the Spirit of God would fall fresh on me. Fresh oil, David is anointed several times. We need fresh oil here tonight, Father. We pray the Spirit of God would fall in a new and powerful way, that whoever hears this message could be changed, comforted, strengthened, convicted, whatever the case, whatever the need is, Father. We have faithful people here, Lord, but I pray that we would grow to even greater heights. I pray that people who are struggling would learn a way of victory. I pray we'd learn how good you are, Lord. And I pray something would happen in this service tonight, great. We ask for you to do it and give you the glory. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Jeremiah is going to the potter's house, and God says, go down there. And you just, by nature, what you do is you just do what God says. Why is he going down to the potter's house? It doesn't matter. A lot of things that Jeremiah and other people have been told to do don't make a lot of sense, but you just do what the Lord says and go where the Lord says to go. Yesterday, I had an area in my mind for door knocking. Yesterday, and Matthew and Ron went there, and boy, the door was open in those apartments. I don't know why those apartments, it's not really close and not really where we normally go, but boy, the door was open there, and it's because God knows where you should go, and so Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house. At the potter's house, and the man's making a vessel, he's making clay. In the middle of making it, it's marred, it's broken, it falls apart, or it doesn't go right. And Jeremiah's watching that, and he's supposed to be paying attention to that. And then God says, "Well, watch more." Well, the guy takes the clay up and gets it together, and then he remakes it like he wants it. And then God says, "Israel, can't I do the same thing with you?" Because Israel had been marred and been through hard times, and we see some things. First of all, this shows how the potter can take a vessel and remake it. He can take a vessel and remake it. Verse 4 is just a beautiful verse. "And the vessel that he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again." So he made it again. I think those words are beautiful. So he made it again. As it seemed good for him to make it. As the potter said, "Oh well, that's okay because the clay is still soft. I can still remake the clay and everything's fine." And so he made it again. It wasn't destroyed. It wasn't a total loss. It took some work. It took some pounding. It took some work to redo that. But he made it again. What if Israel's marred? And he wanted them to go, and he says, "Now take this message to them. Now that take what you've seen and take this to Israel, which is rebelled against me, and to Jerusalem, which has pronounced judgment upon it, and say, Israel, if the potter can rebuild what's been made, can't God do this for you? Can't he rebuild you? Can't he fix you? Though you've been marred." I in my great studies in public high school, took many classes. I was in trouble a lot in school, and so they basically wanted to get me out of there, and so they let me take as many electives as I wanted, and because I was in so much trouble. And so I took 3 years of metal shop, 3 years of wood shop, a year and a half of mechanics. I took art. I took ceramics. Took small engine repair. I got a great education. And I graduated, believe it or not. And then I went to college, and then I was in trouble. And they did not ask me how to use a ridge reamer or how to make a pottery when I got to college, or how to fix a lawnmower. But I knew all those things. So when I was in college, I learned a little bit about making clay and how to work with clay a little bit. And we used to have the potter's wheels, and they were pretty cool, and we used to have those. And so take a little bit of clay here. Never cut toward yourself. It's one of the rules. It's one of the rules of people who have lots of scars in their hands don't listen to. And so take a little more clay here. And so you take some clay here. This is real pottery clay. You can make pottery and stuff into it. How many of your kids wish you were me right now and you got to come up and play with this? Kids! And I'll take a little bit more. Good. We've got some clay there. How many wish you would have had my schedule in high school? And So he's making the clay. He has the clay. He's making something. And when you make something, what they have you do when you're working with clay, the first thing you do is beat it to death. They have you pound it. And actually, you flatten it out and you pound it. They got these tools you're pounding with. And after you do that, you flip it over. Actually, you got some stuff you put on the table there so it doesn't get messed up. And then you pound it again. And you pound it, and you pound it, and you beat it, and you knead it, and you do everything to it a whole bunch of times. What that does, it gets the bubbles out of it. And makes it so that when you put it in the kiln, it doesn't explode. And because the bubbles will make it explode. And the potter makes this thing, and he goes out, and he gets ready, and he makes this pottery, wondering why this guy is sitting here watching him the whole time. And he begins to make it. And as he makes it, whatever he's forming, we can form a cup, let's just say. And I don't have a potter's wheel here, certainly, but as you form a cup, make it a little bigger here, and you start stretching it out, and he is twirling it in a circle on that potter's wheel, and it is made, and God does something so he can learn a lesson. He makes you get marred in the hands of the potter, and the thing is wrong, and it's not right, and so it's marred and it's ruined, and it's not going to become a cup. So he's getting it ready. Making his cup there. Show you how you make a handle in a sec here. And he goes and he gets that. So, Pastor, what's that to do with the sermon? Nothing, but something's got to keep your attention. And so you make this clay. And we're making a cup here. Now, when you make a cup, it's a good-looking cup, isn't it? And so you make this cup here. And all you do to make a little handle is you go like this. That is skill right there. It's a good-looking handle. Got to do this again. Why did I put? There it is. And you make little marks here where it's going to stick on. See, you didn't get this in your education. Calculus and stuff. And you put it on there. And you stick it on there. And he was making his cup. And while he's making it, he made a mistake, and now it's ruined. Now the cup is not like a cup anymore, and it's marred. But guess what? The clay's still soft. Oh, brother. No big deal, because the clay's still soft. Now, what do I want to make here? What can I make out of it this time? What seems good to me to make right now? Well, I can make a bowl. And we'll make a bowl. Why can I still make a bowl? Why can I still make a cup?
I don't know, Pastor. You might want to make a picture frame.
Might work. Why can I still do that? Yes, sir, Tyler.
Because the clay is still soft.
Because the clay is still soft. And he says, no big deal, Israel, the clay's soft. And so the potter took it again, and he made something, and he made his bowl, or he made his clay, and he made his cup, or he made whatever he's making, or he made his vase, and he began to make it, and it was just fine, because even though it got marred, it was possible to continue it because it was soft. And it could be remolded. And he says, can't God do this for you, Israel? Can't God do this for you, even though it's been marred? It shows that a potter can take the vessel and remake it. This story, we see that. But then it's an interesting thing happens. He goes from that first story, and now he says, okay, now go get you a finished, done, completed piece of pottery. And he goes in chapter 19, in verse 1, it says, thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take it to the ancient of the people and the ancient of the priests. So he says, go to the house of Israel, take an earthen bottle, take a bottle made of earth that's already hardened and it's already used, and go take it with you, and take it to the people of the leaders of Israel and show that to them. So he does that. And then he goes and he says, all right, now take it and slam it down. And if we look at chapter 19, we can see how he does this. Verse 1 and 2, thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests, and go into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I'll bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth it, his ears shall tingle. And he's going to go on and saying, it's going to be terrible. Your children are going to die. Your wives are going to die. You're going to die. It's going to be a total destruction of the whole nation. And then, verse 10, then thou shalt break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people of this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury it in Tophet till there be no place to bury. Wait a minute, that's a big change. He goes and they got the cute story of the stuff being remade by the potter who got marred. And he said, God, Israel, couldn't I do this to you? Couldn't I take that vessel and remake it and make something? If that potter can do it, don't you think the God of the universe can remake something for you? Don't you think God could remake you though you've been marred, Israel? Don't you think that I could do that for you and make you according to my will, even though you've messed up, even though you've been marred? And then one chapter later, God comes back and says, take one that's already hardened and already formed and slam it on the ground and let it shatter, and then say, thus saith God, this is you, and this thing's been destroyed and it cannot be repaired. And that's you. Same people. Same people. The sign of the broken bottle is different from the sign of the potter's vessel, but it's the same God using the same prophet to talk to the same people. What is the difference? This one cannot be made whole, it says in verse 11. And say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city as one that breaketh a potter's vessel, that it cannot be made whole again. That it cannot be made whole again. Wow. God goes from the point of saying, we can remake this, to saying, it'll be destroyed, and it cannot be remade again. What's the difference? Well, it's not the big difference is, if I throw this down on the ground, what happens? Except dirt. What happens though? Can it be reformed?
Yes.
Okay. Did it shatter?
Nope.
No. Is it bad? Is it mauled? Is it ruined? Is it nothing? Can you stop opening that thing? You're looking at you there, Melon. Is it messed up? Is it flat? Is it what it was going to be before? No. But in the hands of the potter, it can be taken up. It can be reformed. And I can take this, or my kids can take this week, and we can make whatever we want out of this thing. We can go form it, and we can go create something. Why? Because it's soft. Now we're going to find out that God is going to use that to teach him a lesson right between these two chapters, because something changes. The clay became hard. Look at back to 18, right after the potter's illustration. God comes in love to Israel and says, listen to me, guys. Let me tell you the story of the potter's vessel. And Jeremiah comes hopeful and says, Israel, God can remake you. The beautiful verse, verse 6, O house of Israel, cannot I do unto you as unto this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. And let me say this, can't God take your marred life and rebuild it? Can't God do great things with your life and take you to great places? Can't God, the God of the universe, take and form the clay? Yes, he can. But then something happened in between these two chapters. God says, if you will follow me, I'll turn back your curse. Verse 18, if that nation whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. They already had judgment pronounced, but God says, but if you will turn and be soft, you'll be the clay in the potter's hands, and I form you and can take you that have been marred as a nation and been hurt as a nation, and I can form you again into what I like. Just like the potter, according to as good seemeth good to the potter, I can do that to you. I can form you into something good. I can form your life into something good. I can make something good. And Jeremiah comes and brings this to them and says, God says, hey, listen, guys, it's not too late. I went to a potter's house, and he was forming some clay, and it got marred like your nation did and like Israel did. And then he took it and made a beautiful vessel again, and the potter loved it. And the Lord has a message for you. Cannot God do for you what the potter did for the pottery? And he says, you're as clay in his hands. And then, verse 11, now therefore speak unto them, men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise the evil device against you. Return ye now, everyone, from his evil way, and make good your ways and your doings good. Here's the offer. And they said, there is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore, saith the Lord, it's coming. Jeremiah, go get you a finished vessel. Go get you a hard vessel. Go get you a baked clay vessel. And take it down with those people and shatter it in front of them and say, thus saith the Lord, this is you. And it cannot be repaired. And you're going to be destroyed and slaves and cast out and sent to Babylon. You're going to go 70 years of captivity. You'll become slaves. Your boys will become eunuchs. Your children will be killed. Your nation will be ravaged. And you won't be a nation for thousands of years. What happened? The vessel became hard in between. I have a vessel here. Same clay. It's not finished. It's just kind of a form of a bowl. But this clay, if I'm the potter and I'm going to form it, guess what happens? It's kind of bent there and I can't straighten it out. Well, look at that. It's not shaped right over here. This side needs to come up some. Let me see if I can make it come up some, because it's not shaped right. Same clay. And this thing gets broken because it's hard and I can't do anything with it. It's set. And the potter says, that's ugly and useless. I wanted to make you something beautiful, but you became hard. And now I cannot form you. And as verse 11 says, that cannot be made whole. And he says, go and take it and throw it down and shatter it. Because I cannot form it, and I can't do anything with it. This clay is still ugly, but it's got all the potential in the world. Because it's soft. Because it can be formed. What happened? They became hard. God said, here's the offer. And they said, we're not going to do that. We don't have any hope, and we're going to be destroyed, and we're just going to go ahead and live in our abominations. And God says, okay, I can't form you anymore. And there comes a point where we become hard, and God cannot form us anymore, and you can be beautiful in the hands of potter, and he can make something wonderful out of you, but not once you harden yourself, and not once you become hard. And nobody wants to become hard. None of the people that I've watched become hard, when I was a teenager watching people become hard, when I was in Bible college, watching Bible college students become hard. When I had a pastor here, watching people become hard. As a pastor, watching pastor friends who are in the ministry become hard. And no more growth, and no more forming, and no more changing, and usually a shattering. Why? Because the master potter wants to reform it. As long as they're soft, there's a lot of potential. As long as we don't become hard. What happened? They became hard. David sinned very grievously, as did Saul. What happened to him? David was formed into something wonderful and wrote many wonderful psalms, and God used him and had a beautiful things happen in his life, and he wrote Psalms 51. Why? Because he didn't become hard. Saul sinned very grievously as the king before David, and Saul did things, but you know Saul did not do as bad as David at first. He just didn't kill all the sheep. David committed adultery and murder. But then when God came when God sent a messenger to Saul and said, Saul, what do I hear the bleating of the sheep? He got hard and defended himself and argued and did his own thing and wouldn't give in. And he became very hard, where David was told, thou art the man. And he said, I have sinned. And God took David, and he was marred and messed up. And he said, I'm going to start forming you again, David. I'm going to make something beautiful out of you. And you're still going to be a man after mine own heart. And I'm still going to put the Messiah's line. And I'm going to give you the son who's going to be the wisest man who ever lived. And you know what? You're soft still, David. I'm going to begin forming you. And I'm going to make you into something great. Because, David, you're still soft. Yes, you messed up. And yes, you got marred. But I'm going to make you into something great. Because you're still soft. And can I tell you, the Bible warns you, be very careful lest you become hardened. That's the phrase God uses. You be very careful lest you become hardened. We'll read that verse in a minute. But the Bible warns you about hardness. And I want you today to be a vessel, though you might not be the prettiest and the most beautiful vessel right now. If you become soft, God can form something great out of you. If you do not become hard, you're okay. But once you harden, you better hope that form you're in is a complete vessel. Because there is a time when God works with you and you let him form you for many years, and then he begins to let you dry and he makes something out of you, and you are something, and you'll continue to grow and be fixed. But you know what? Until you're where you want to be, don't ever let yourself become hard. And it's going to be hard for you to get where you want to be if you're the right kind of Christian and you hang around Jesus and see yourself as you are. How are we hardened? How are we hardened? Just a couple things. Just going to give you, I got two ways that you were hardened, real basic ways in the Bible, how you can keep from becoming hardened where God can't fix you. You say, God can fix anything. You don't understand what God just taught. You'll find a whole bunch of verses in the Bible where God says, too late, I'm done. Therefore, your house is left in you desolate, Matthew 23. I would have gathered you as a hen doth gather her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. Therefore, your house is left in you desolate. Your nation's destroyed. Why? I tried, and the time came. There comes a point where God says, you're too hard, I'm breaking you. Or you're too hard, and you're shattered. And you're too hard, and you're not usable anymore. How do you not become hard? Just a couple things. First of all, a decision to disobey. A decision to disobey. We see this in chapter 18, verse 12. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. And we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. We can take you back to Jeremiah and see this again in Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 26. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck, and did worse than their fathers. They made a choice. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 19. Verse 15, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I'll bring evil upon this city and upon all our towns, all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words. They did a couple things. First thing they did, and I can read the verses, 2 Chronicles 36, 13, it says the exact same thing. They hardened their necks and hardened their heart. They would not let God lead them. And I'm already a mess, so I might as well make everything a mess here. God said, I want you to do this. Now, there's two different groups of people. Let me give you the difference here. There is a group of people. Most of us are in this group. We fall, we mess up, and we say, I'm sorry. Boy, I sure wish I knew how to fix this. Or, boy, I'm battling it. Boy, I'm struggling. Boy, I fell, but Lord, I fell, but, oh, God, I want to do better than that. And that's repentance, and you come to God, and that's fine. But there's a very different line that we cross, that Israel crossed, is, I do this, and I'm going to do it, God. And that's that. And there's a mile of difference, because one's hard. When you're living in repentance, when you're living and saying, Lord, I need help, Lord, I'm sorry, you're okay. It's wrong, it's sin, confess it to God, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You're still soft, you're marred. You're not right. You're not beautiful as you could be. You're not what you could be, yet you're marred. But when you get to that point where you say, this is what I'd like, and I'm going to do it, and don't tell me otherwise, because I am not listening anymore. That's what they said right there. Chapter 19, verse 15. I have pronounced against it because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. After Jeremiah took the prophecy to them, Jeremiah had to go to God and say, God, deliver me from these people. They're torturing me. They're mean to me. They're nasty to me when I bring your messages. And God, I can't take the way they're treating me. That's what Jeremiah had to say because they were so nasty to him. They locked him up. They beat him. They punched him. They did all kinds of things to Jeremiah because they said, we will not hear this. You, if you begin to live in the spiritual realm, and some of you have watched this, as you begin to work with people, you'll see a line cross. It's incredibly hazardous. Someone you love, someone you might be sitting next to in church sometimes, somebody might be a friend, but all of a sudden they will accept their sin. And the first sign is defensiveness. They're defensive about it. Secondly, they will demonize you. I'm going to do this, and don't judge me, and I'm going to do it. You don't understand my circumstance, and by the way, you're not so hot in it either. Where they used to be, if you see anything doing wrong, teach, tell me. Where it used to be, I can't wait for hard preaching because I want to get straightened out. But all of a sudden, they're defensive, they're kind of angry, and you will see their countenance change many times, and they get hard. And the sad thing is one little area sometimes. Boy, I've had this, I didn't know I was fighting a battle with somebody. I had somebody on tithing before. And they thought I was preaching on them, and they thought I was talking to them, and they were so mad about that, and they get angry about it. And I don't talk about money much, when I talked about it, boy, it was a big deal. And all of a sudden they come and tell me, well, you might sit here and be preaching on me about this and that. No, you're talking about me. What am I talking to you about? You know, my tithing. I know now. I don't look at the giving records, buddy. I don't know if you give or don't. Now I know. Now I'll say, well, you don't understand my financial situation. I've got bills. No, I don't understand that at all. I have no bills. I've never had a bill. And you don't know how hard it is to tithe when I am financially struggling. I'm not going to win an argument there. You know what I say? I don't want to lose them. I want them to keep coming to church. Maybe I shouldn't, but I want them to. Maybe I should just let them go off and be destroyed. But I'll say, you know what? Then don't tithe. I'm not going to change their mind. And I'm going to hope God will get a hold of them because they're becoming hardened. Why would you let that destroy your whole life? Say, if somebody comes and says, Pastor, you know what? I'm not tithing right now because you know what? I don't have enough faith to believe God's going to supply my needs. I shouldn't do it. It's wrong. It's evil. Pray for me. That's a totally different person. That's a totally different person. That person can be remolded eventually. But it's the repentance. It's the humility. It's the wanting to hear. It's when they don't want to hear now. Sometimes that's when they get hardened. Never be afraid of somebody to tell you the truth. I always have hope, no matter what somebody's doing, no matter how bad it is, when they receive rebuke. Even if they don't change, it tells me a lot. When they, don't you dare tell me that. Who are you to tell me that? Then I know. And you've experienced this, haven't you? You've seen people who became hard because they made a decision. Understand that decision. That decision is to stay in disobedience and be content there. And roll around in the mud. And that's a big difference. Some people say, you know what? I'm just not going to go soul winning. I don't care what you say, Pastor. I don't like it. I'm not going to do it. You're hard. You say, hey, Pastor, I am so scared. I'm not going to go. Pray for me. One of these, that's different. But when you decide, I'm not going to go soul winning. I don't care what you say. It's not right. It's not me. And you can't tell me what to do. And I'm not going to go because I just don't believe in it. And I'm not going to do it. And it's my life. What if God wants you to do it? I'm just not. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to. You're hard. And you're going to be shattered because you cannot be formed anymore. And Israel said, no, Jeremiah, we're not going to do it. We are going to go worship our false God. I don't care what you say. And God said, go grab the hardened vessel. go grab the hardened vessel. Because they're not saying, Lord, we would like to serve you. They're saying, no. And Jeremiah, knock it off. Quit telling us this bad stuff. We're fine. Get out of here. We'll put you in jail again. They did not like that. They became hard and they did not listen. And they just settled in and accepted disobedience and made a decision to disobey God and to stay in disobedience. And when they settled into that, they said, you just became hard. And God says, can't form anything anymore. It's settled in its shape. This thing was settled in its shape. And you got a God who's going to keep trying to form you. And what will happen sometimes when somebody hardens himself is all of a sudden the person you knew and loved that was so wonderful and so sweet and so kind, all of a sudden they get angry at God. And they break and they don't even want to go to church anymore. Because they harden themselves. First of all, it's a decision to disobey. Please don't decide that I will just disobey. I am not condoning you struggling and living in struggle. Jesus got victory for you. But I am saying, please never decide you are just going to disobey God. And you're going to stay there. And that of your life is not God's for now. And it's not going to be. And don't tell me about it. You're in trouble. Number one, when we become hard, it's a decision to disobey. Number two, it's the deceitfulness of sin. Let me take you to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. I don't think anybody in this room is hardened in the decision to disobey. I don't think anybody in here is right now. I don't think anybody in here is, I'm not going to listen. I don't care. That's good. Because I'm not warning you because I think you're that. I'm warning you because I don't want you to become that. Because I've seen people that are better than me do it. I've seen fellow brothers and sisters in the ministry. I've seen pastors just say no. I've seen them do it with the decision not to go where God called them on the mission field. I've seen them do it in their relationship and their marriage. I've seen them do it with convictions and standards. God gives grace when somebody first gets saved. One of the biggest things this happens on is music. Music. They become a rock on music. Don't tell me, that's my music, I listen to it. What if it's not good? Stop. What if God doesn't want that music? It's my music, that's the kind of music I'm going to listen to. I don't care what you say. You can give me all the arguments you want. I am not going to listen to Amazing Grace. Really, if God shows me that rock and roll is biblical, I'm going to rock and roll. I'm not hardened like you are. No, he doesn't. Don't get happy about that. But you know what? I've told Jehovah's Witnesses before. I said, if you show me with the Bible that I'm wrong and the Watchtower's right, I'll become a Jehovah's Witness. I'm not hardened. Number two. The thing that will harden you is the deceitfulness of sin. I better not get near music. I'll get everybody hard. The deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3, verse 12. I could give you the other subjects. You want the other subjects? You do? No, you don't. You don't want the other subjects. There are about three subjects that instantly, what did you say? That didn't happen. Nah, you can't handle it. You'll get hard and I'll break you. One of them's hair length, by the way. 1 Corinthians 14 is in there. Try to get a guy with long hair to get his hair cut. Try to get a girl to grow the hair long. Good luck. Little issue becomes very hardened. I better stop. I'm going to get clay thrown at me. Verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departed from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. How do you do that? Believing sin will become okay. And you will get away with it. Sin lies to you and says, you know what? Jump in, jump back out and serve God. It's quicksand. If you go do this sin, you'll be able to sneak into it, and it'll work out. And God, and you'll manipulate the whole situation. You'll be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. Just one puff. Just one time doing this drug. Just one time fornicating. The deceitfulness of sin, if you believe it, sin will get you into it, and then sin sets its traps on you and clamps down on you and says you are not getting let go. And then you eventually get hardened and formed into whatever form sin puts you in because it lied to you and told you that sin's okay. You oftentimes begin to justify yourself. You begin to justify your sin. You'll blame it on circumstances or other things. You will demonize the person who tries to help you, your best friend who's been your best friend for 20 years, you grew up with, who all of a sudden become a bad person, or your mom or your dad or whoever, become a bad person because sin has lied to you and says it's the way and it's okay and your sin's okay. And sin is so deceitful and you become hardened. Of course, the context here is it comes into Israel crossing the Red Sea. And God said, I'm going to take care of you. I have manna, I have all the things ahead of you. And they came across, and God said, okay, now go into the promised land and go check it out. And they came back and said, God can't take care of us. We're going to die. There's giants in that land. And God says, you're not going in. Joshua and Caleb are going in. They're not hardened. You've been lied to thinking that you can live in your own way and live in your own way and not follow my way and not go into my land I told you to go into, and you're going to be fine. It's a lie. It's deceitfulness. Do not go in unbelief and believe that God does not repay and believe that sin's going to be okay and that sin can be treaded on lightly, and do not believe the deceitfulness of sin because it hardens you. Sin, when you get in there, it does what my hands are doing right now, which is dry out. And sin, when you get into it, it begins to form you and bake you, and you form into something you wish you weren't. And then you come back, and you come out of sin and say, I need some real help because I have been deceived, and now I'm stuck. And I can't seem to change myself. I can't seem to undo myself. I am formed, and I keep on getting pulled back into this thing, and I'm weak, and I'm stuck, and I'm broken. And sin, I thought it'd be no big deal, but now my life's messed up, and I'm not strong enough to overcome this. What am I going to do? The deceitfulness of sin is very powerful, and it entraps you. Do not let yourself be hardened. Do not hang around sin. Do not dwell in it. Do not do it. Do not accept it. Do not let it be there. Do not listen to the lies of sin. Do not take it lightly. Do not disobey God thinking it'll still be okay. Hey, the good news is if you've been deceived by sin, God has the ability there. Hey, Peter was a marred vessel. He denied Christ and cursed. And 50 days later, he preached Pentecost and 3,000 were saved and baptized. Because he was not deceived, he sorrowed and realized it was wrong. When you began to justify it and be deceived by sin that it's okay, you're in big danger. You know, the good news is, natural clay, model or sculpt, roll slabs, wheel throw, treated to ensure freshness, add water to dry pieces to soften clay. Add water to dry pieces to soften clay. What's water in the Bible? Holy Spirit. Say, Pastor, I did that. God had to break me. And things got messed up. Add the Holy Spirit to your life. Add the presence of God in your life. You know what I find? God can do amazing things when you let yourself become soft again. And sometimes you have to get broken. I don't know how in the world I can put this thing in a bunch of water, remold it, but the Holy Spirit's a lot more powerful than water. Amen. I want to say to you this. It is very easy to get hardened. Sin is a lot of fun. Your comfort zones are very comfortable. The addictions are very powerful. Things you get dwelt in and you get into harden you. But you know what? You may be an ugly, incomplete vessel right now to God. And you may need to be formed more. You know what? This thing's pretty ugly. But I bet a master sculptor can make this into a work of art that's worth a lot of money. And I'm not a master sculptor. You notice I quit? But you put it in the hands of a master sculptor with the right wheel, this little ugly thing right here, still soft. Where he's saying, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me, melt me, mold me. And I want you tonight to say, you know what? I am not going to let myself become hardened. And I want you to say, if you've been marred, put yourself in the hand of the master, potter. Amen. And he says here in these beautiful verses, and the vessel that he made that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. I'm ready to form you. What kind of clay are you? Well, you know God's ready to form you. You know God wants to form you into something great. What kind of clay are you? When God speaks to you tonight, are you going to say, no? Or are you going to say, I do not like that. That hurts. I mean, twisted and pulled. And some of you feel that, don't you? I'm being formed and twisted and pulled and changed. And oh, it hurts. God's making you something great. If you'll stay soft. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that tonight we would understand the difference between hard clay and soft clay. And I pray to realize that are we not clay in the Master's hand? But I pray we'd let ourselves be formed. I pray, first of all, that nobody in this room, Lord, would ever in the future become hardened. There's a danger there, Father. I know I could become hardened. Such a danger. Secondly, I pray we'd have hope tonight. That if we'll say soft, we can become a masterpiece in your hand. Though we're marred, we can become a masterpiece in the Master's hand. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are